Today on the Travel Guys.
From atop Peavine Ridge Road, somewhere up in the foothills. Isn't that a great name? Peavine Ridge Road.
Why not?
I thought that was great. In the travel news, Southwest says they will block middle seats until the end of October. The special event cancellation list now includes camels and ostriches. And if you're headed to Lassen National Park, beware of the bears.
In our Smarter Traveler segment at 3:20, some tips on doing laundry on the road.
At 3:35, I ask why the most expensive gas station in town can always the most expensive gas in town can always be found at the airport. And the answer as to why that is just doesn't stand up to simple math. Of course, it's just one man's opinion.
One of our most popular features is the mailbag. We'll be answering your travel questions coming up at 3:40.
Sure appreciate you taking the time to put us on your radio. Welcome to the latest edition of The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets to paradise.
Up to Alaska. I go north to Russia's own.
With the show.
Welcome, everyone. It's another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you. Thanks for joining us here on this beautiful and kind of hot Sunday. We're brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark is right there in his office, and I'm here upstairs in my home studio. Welcome again to the program. Mark, how have you been for the week? What's new?
I've been good. I'm not, I didn't go anyplace. Well, I mean, I went home at the end of each day and came back each morning. But, I mean, you know, because otherwise, well, some people are not doing that now. For some, that's just going a few miles to work and going back. But, you know, I'm trying to obey the governor's thing and not go out. Plus, every time I go to the grocery store, every fool in the whole neighborhood is at the grocery store. Have you noticed that? I don't know. There must be an alarm that goes off that says Mark's going to the grocery store.
Well, what time of the day do you choose to go?
Well, I don't know. Our office closes now at 3, so I've been going about, you know, on my way home, about sometimes about 3:15, 3:30. And I'm thinking to myself, the reason it's busy at that time is because all the other stay-at-home people, that's when they used to go to pick up the kids or something like that. And they've been at home with the kids now all day long, and by 3 o'clock they're done with it. So They're escaping and going out the same time I am.
Well, I recommend the last hour of the day, or better yet, yes. I haven't been in, I can't, maybe three months or more that I've set foot inside any kind of a retail outlet. I am a e-cart person, and I want to thank all of the swell people there at the Gold River Bel Air off of Sunrise. That's my e-cart location. They're wonderful. They practically know me by first name. Believe it or not, when you send in your request of what you want when you do it online, I will actually get either a text or a phone call that will say, Tom, we don't have this. Can we substitute it for that? And we'll get it all squared away. And then I just go and they bring it out.
Aren't you spoiled? How much does that cost you to do that?
If you spend less than $100, it costs you $5.
Okay.
But if you spend more than $100, it costs you nothing. I have discovered that if the people that are the young folks in most cases that bring the groceries out, if they are union, they will not take a cash tip. So what we do is we get our hands on some either In-N-Out burger or some Chick-fil-A gift cards.
Oh.
And for whatever the reason, the union rules will allow them to take a gift card.
Ah.
However, they can't and will not be seen taking cash from you. So, and even though I might have paid a $5 fee, for them to go out of their way to shop for me, first of all, and then schlep everything out to my car in the heat and put it in my trunk, is certainly worth a $5 gift card. That's
tips
for, darn
for tipping the e-cart people right here on the Travel Guys. Since you can't go far, we'll give you tips for tipping when you go to the grocery store, because really that's about as far as many of us have been recently. Okay, let's see here. Despite the fact that you can't travel, believe it or not, I have a plethora of travel news here today.
Well, all right. With that being said, let's do it. Top of every Travel Guys radio show, we bring you up to date on the travel news. And with it, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Mark Hoffman.
Hey, well, the mask controversy is just about over, because you basically have to wear a mask just about everywhere. Marriott and Hyatt announced that effective July the 27th, which is tomorrow, you will have to wear a mask if you enter any of their hotel properties. If you come in the door, you have to have a face covering. United Airlines also says you have to have a face covering at any of their ticket counters or at any of their baggage counters or any place else you do business with United Airlines inside an airport. So this is the deal. Wear it, put on your mask before you go inside the airport or before you go inside the hotel or before you go inside any building where you'll be interacting with people. I know some folks don't like it, but just do it anyway. We'll be all through this, and we'll forget that we ever argued about this someday, I hope soon. The cancellation list. Rocky Mountaineer has canceled the remaining tourism train departures. It's a train up in Canada that runs through the Rocky Mountains and is quite a scenic and wonderful trip to take if you've never done it. But they have they had hoped to run starting in September, but instead have now canceled the rest of their season. In Virginia City, they have canceled the International Camel and Ostrich Races, which is, you know, I mean, got to be depressing to some.
No, my gosh.
I mean, if you were an ostrich, and imagine if you're an ostrich and you trained all year for your big moment, and now
ostrich races, gets
on
the ostrich.
Go ahead. I'm waiting for what you say.
Somebody
about
gets
this.
So you'll know people. The ostriches just don't run, and you race them. People actually climb on board.
Have you seen? Have you been to ostrich races? I have not.
I have participated in an ostrich race at the California State Fair, representing KCRA Radio.
I was going to say, back from the radio days, yeah.
Back in the Johnny Hyde days, only Johnny Hyde could talk somebody into climbing on an ostrich, and. That was an experience of a lifetime.
See Tom's resume here. Yes, Mr. Romano, I see here you've ridden an ostrich. Tell me about goodness gracious.
Okay.
Anyway, the Virginia
Back
City
the
ostrich. That's a good story, though. I like that. You never know where a good story is lurking behind it. Besides, maybe behind an ostrich. I don't know. It's probably not safe to stand there behind the ostrich. Anyway, here comes word from London that the world premiere of a show called Sleepless, which is a stage musical, is going to take place. Let's see here. It's going to take place starting on the 25th of August. Show was originally to begin performances in March. It is the first musical to attempt to make it to the stage in London, or, of course, Broadway has been shut down for months now. They are going to socially distance inside the theater and see if they can make this work. So we'll keep you posted and see. I don't know the show Sleepless, but it will be interesting to see if anybody can get a musical on stage and figure that out. Would probably help a lot of theater folks around the planet. SeaWorld Parks is offering free admission to U.S. military veterans and families. Southwest Airlines is going to continue blocking the middle seats through at least October 31st. Now, I'm going to tell you, Tom, you want to know the way to get people to fly again? Forget all of this, everything that you've put out there, block the middle seat. And the Southwest people have figured this out. They have figured out that the most important thing to people is have a little bit of distance, to not have somebody that they don't know hanging into their seat. That was a problem before, but it was a comfort issue before. Now it's a health issue.
Would you pay extra for three seats side by side?
Yes, I would. I would, because to me, I'm one of those frequent flyer guys, especially on United Airlines, and so I'm always hoping for the upgrade because I'm too cheap to, you know, I'm rich, not rich enough to be able to afford to sit in first class, so I fly a lot and hope they put me up there occasionally. But I've always said to people, leave me in coach and give me the seat next to me empty, and I don't need to be in first class. That's all the room I need, and I'm happy, and everything, life is good. So, yes, I'm probably – don't tell the airlines I said this, because if they know, they'll come – sure as heck. But I would probably pay 50 or – you know, you got to figure the guy on the other side of you is paying something to keep the seat open too. So you should only have to pay half the price, and they match up the people who want a seat open. You know, I mean, I'm just saying. But yeah, I would pay a little bit to have the to keep the middle seat open. But I think the Southwest people have really figured this out. I firmly believe that this is the most important thing to people right now. Oh, we super clean the aircraft, and we wipe everything down, including the pilot's fanny between trips, and we do this and that and whatever. And, you know, that all sounds impressive. But at the end of the day, you get on and you sit on the plane. What's caused the most violent reaction of people in the last few months? Getting on a United or an American flight that's shoulder to shoulder with everybody, and suddenly they're videoing it all over the place and ruining the airline's reputation for 3 months. So these guys, Delta is through the end of September, but Southwest has figured this out even better. By going another month out into October, they're going to get all the leisure bookings for the month of October. People are going to say, well, you know, I'll just book over here. That will allow them to add extra flight frequencies back in. They're not going to make a lot of money, but they will gain market share, and they will keep flying. They have announced that they don't think they're going to have to lay anybody off at the end of September for the number of people who have taken early retirement stuff. The rest of the airlines, it's going to be a huge carnage. But Southwest has never laid off a single employee against their will. So they're hoping that they don't have to do that. And they might.
Yeah.
This might be the thing. I mean, the middle seat is open. If you were going to fly, would that be important to you? It would sure be important to me. Plus, now I'm going to be comfortable.
There you go.
So
what I was alluding to wasn't just leaving the middle seat open, but if you had the opportunity to have a whole row, okay? In other words, let's say you're paying... You know, let's just give it a cheap fare. It's a 159er to San Antonio, okay? And if you could pay 259er and have the middle seat plus the other two.
Yeah, nice idea, but that's your numbers are a little off there. You'd have to buy the window seat. So let's pretend you're paying 159. So now you got to pay another 159, and then you're going to have to pay something for the privilege of keeping that middle seat open. So let's call it. So you're going to pay 3.5 instead of 159 to have the whole row. That would be my guess.
But would you think? I think some people would pay that.
They might. But then you're still going to have a person in front of you or in back of you. I guess my thought is that no matter how large, small, stinky, clean, or whatever that person is on the window seat, if you got the aisle, why you pretty much have some protection. So if they're sneezing all over the place or something like that, why they have some place to go and you have some place to go and you can at least try to. And now that everybody has to wear a mask on an airplane and Southwest, another thing here, they basically just said, and Delta said the same thing this week. The airlines have just figured it out. If you don't want to fly with us, if you don't want to wear a mask, then you're not going to fly with us. That's the bottom line. And you're welcome to come back when this is all over. We're going to keep your name on a list. What did Delta say? They got 100 people on their list. So there you go. Anyways, Southwest Airlines, Hawaii flights from Sacramento resume the 1st of September. I don't know how you're going to get into Hawaii yet. They haven't figured out all the testing things and stuff like that. So if you're going to book a ticket, make sure you've got that end of it figured out or you're going to be in quarantine for 14 days. They also hope to have the 737 MAX in the air by the end of the year. Funny how that was such a big story last year and all the COVID thing, it has completely fallen off the charts. Hilton is committed to a new cage-free goal and a promotion of plant-based menu items. Of course, most of their restaurants are closed, but when the hotel restaurants in the parent Hilton properties come back, Hilton is setting up a cage-free egg commitment. They are going to do some things to try to make their food a little healthier and a little bit more environmentally friendly at parent Hilton hotels. 33 countries have banned people from the United States. Lots of states won't take people from California. Stay home. Lassen National Park has partial closures due to bear interactions. Now, I don't know exactly what a bear interaction is, but I'm guessing it doesn't involve your wife in the bedroom. It probably involves a bear interaction in the great outdoors is probably a little different. So they have some bears in Lassen that are kind of acting up. So just if you're going out into the national parks, just be careful
well,
there.
Well, for a long time when there were no people around, the animals have a tendency to be a little bit, not as shy. They they will come to areas that they might normally not visit because it's populated. And now people are coming back to the parks. So these bears, they're somewhat territorial. So I could see that would be could be a problem.
Yeah, they're like, hey, 317 belongs to me now, dude. You need to go find another place to stay. But you're right. You're right. There are lots of videos online of wildlife reclaiming areas that previously had been inhabited by people, and so you are correct in saying, I'm sure, that the possibility of interaction and stuff may go up a bit. I just, I take bear treats with me whenever I go into the mountains, and then you can just give the bear a little treat and say, here, bear, here's a little treat, and then you just go on your way, and that takes care of the bear.
Okay. Go ahead.
That's your travel news for today.
So you'll know, folks, he was just making that up. Do not take bear treats. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys here on KFBK. Coming up after a couple of minutes timeout, Mark is going to give us some tips. So we're just going to discuss, I don't know if these are Mark's tips, but these and Chris Elliott's and some of mine, some tips on doing your laundry on the road. This should be exciting.
The bears like the huckleberry ones the best.
That's next on the Travel Guys.
On the road again.
Don't I wish?
Just can't wait to get on the road.
It's interesting how, by the way, and if you just tuned in, it's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations every Sunday at 3. Follow along at travelguysradio.com. It's amazing how that the simplest things in life, you begin to appreciate them a little bit more. I mean, it wasn't that many months ago when I would say, well, I'm going to run to go do such and such. And my wife would say, okay, see you later. Mm-hmm. And now it's kind of like, hey, let me tag along. We're going someplace.
Yeah.
Even if it's just for a short ride in the car. So
just to go to the drive-through is an exciting opportunity. Yeah,
pretty
days.
Exciting. There you go.
I drove by the Chick-fil-A over there on Sunrise the other day. And it was like 5 o'clock in the afternoon. It wasn't even what I would consider a busy time. And they had two people in the parking lot directing traffic, because you can approach that restaurant, that drive-through, from three different directions. And if you do that, you tie up the entire parking lot. So that's what people had done. And so now it's like, which line is first? And some people who are in line don't want to be in line because they were just trying to get out of the parking lot. And so, but it's good to see, at least. I mean, that's a chain restaurant, but I've seen, we've got a local Mexican food restaurant right behind us. And I saw 5 or 6 cars in their drive-through line the other day. So I'm glad that people are getting out and supporting the restaurants, because, they need the support. I mean, that's just the bottom line. If you want your favorite restaurant, whether it's fast food or not fast food or whatever it is, to be there when this is all over, then now is the time to stand up and be counted. I can assure you. You will never be so appreciated as you are now. All right.
All right. Absolutely.
We got clothing, laundry on the road. Tom, I asked you this question. You ever head out on the road? You're packing and you're going out for a week, and you get out there and you realize on day 4 you're counting your undies and you're like, oh man, I'm short a pair, or t-shirts or shirts or the whole damn thing. You forgot to pack, for a whole day, and the realization hits you that you're going to have to do some laundry before you get back.
Yeah, well, I usually take your advice in regards to the underwear and just turn them inside out, is what you said to works best.
What do you call that? What now?
Repurposing?
Repurposing, yes. Chris Elliott calls it recycling.
Recycling, yeah.
So anyway, before we waste all of this time here, let me quickly tell you some tips for doing laundry on the road. First and most important tip, there is a growing number of mid-range hotels that have laundry facilities on site. It's generally one washer and one dryer. So, you know, if you and somebody else had the same idea at exactly the same time, then you may have to switch off a little bit. But nonetheless, many hotels now have laundry facilities on site. The funny thing is, you would think this would be a no-brainer. They don't all have soap. And sometimes the thing takes a dollar and a half worth of quarters or something. And so sometimes the change door at the hotel doesn't have $5 worth of quarters you need. So think about what type of money does it take. And also, do you need detergent or something like that? If you didn't bring some of it with you, will you need to go out and buy some of that? Nobody wants to pay $7 a shirt to get their stuff laundered by a hotel if you're in a hotel that has laundry. So think about the fact that maybe you can find a laundromat in the neighborhood. Now, our buddy Chris Elliott had a good tip if you're doing that sort of thing. He said, I always pull the laundromat up on a map and make sure that the laundromat is in a decent neighborhood. Because he said, it might be 4 blocks from where I'm staying, but unknowingly it might be the other side of the tracks or whatever it is, and I'm going someplace where I shouldn't be going. So he said, I always pull it up, I always ask where I'm staying, you know, is this a safe spot to go? He said, actually, you can meet some really interesting people in laundromats in faraway cities, which I don't disagree with at all. So the other thing is, you can do your laundry in your sink, which, of course, is the last possible option if you've got some kind of outdoor hanging place. But Chris says, be careful. You hang stuff outside. It gets a little windy, and suddenly your stuff that was on the 10th floor window is nowhere to be found. So laundry on the road, first biggest tip is try to find one of those mid-range hotels that already has laundry on site. Hilton Garden Inn, Spring Hill Suites, some of the extended stay properties particularly now have laundry facilities available. The entire article with all the tips for doing laundry can be found at travelguysradio.com. Tom, after the news, we have I have kind of a something that's been a craw. It sticks with me all the time. We're going to talk about it, have a little commentary, and then we're going to go to the mailbag for all of the people's questions.
It's time for Just One Man's Opinion. Here's Mark Hoffman.
All right, so this is the deal. I have a bone to pick. First, allow me to give you a little bit of background. Around the country, Sacramento's reputation as a city is generally pretty good. Maybe I should say nondescript pretty good. People who haven't been here don't know much about us. And people who have been here sometimes say, well, they really don't know much about us. Other than our Pony Express, Transcontinental Railroad, riverboat history, we really don't have a nationally known attraction that is a must-see. We don't have a memorable personality as a city, good, bad, or otherwise. We are between San Francisco and Lake Tahoe Yosemite, and hotel rooms in our city are a lot cheaper than they are in San Francisco by the bay, as we have a plethora of great dining choices that also tend to be cheaper. But still, we have to hustle to attract our fair share of tourists. In the short term, that's going to be a little tougher, as the tourism professionals whose job it is to attract some of those tourists are gone from the Convention and Visitors Bureau staff list, a casualty of COVID, and a no funds because of a lack of tax collection. For a second-level destination like ours, it's important to build a reputation for being a friendly place. We are nice people, which is already one of our strong points. We are close to lots of great stuff. We have some great history of our own, and reasonable prices. Not a bad list of selling points. Visitors build their impressions of a destination on many things, and sometimes that first or last impression can be the most lasting. Which brings me finally to the point of today's verbal essay. Why is it that the most expensive gas station in town is the AM/PM at the airport? This is not a recent development. It's been that way for years. Sometimes the prices are as much as 30, 40 cents a gallon above what other AM/PM stations in the area are charging. Our airport director explained when I asked her in an interview, which aired on our program a year ago, that the station takes credit cards for purchases, something other AM/PMs do not do. So they need 5 to 10 cents a gallon to cover the cost of the credit card company's processing fees. Understandable. But that still leaves the prices at the airport to be incredibly non-competitive. Imagine for a minute you're a visitor or a tourist. You have a rental car, and after buzzing around the area for a few days, you need to refill the tank to avoid the ridiculous refilling fees charged by the rental car company. Here's the challenge. Sacramento is one of a handful of major cities where there are very limited fuel choices near the airport. In Sacramento, the number of choices is one. Unless you go back to Del Paso Boulevard or almost the Woodland, there are no other choices. You pretty much have to use the AM/PM at the airport and pay their prices. And if you think things like that don't leave a lasting impression on visitors, you could be wrong. Ask my friends how many times I've told the story of $5 a gallon gas at all the stations near the Orlando airport. It was 10 years ago, and I'd tell you the story right now, but our time is limited. Bottom line, I got ripped off, and I've never forgotten it. As a lifetime tourism guy, I have to ask, why would you allow the last impression of a business or leisure traveler to be that they got ripped off at their final stop? Is there a reason gas at the airport can't be 10 cents higher than other self-serve stations in town instead of 40? Or are we paying for something more than credit card fees in our airport gas prices? Maybe that new freeway interchange they're building near the airport will bring some much-needed competition. And that is just one man's opinion.
Well, okay.
Well, that's a lot of ranting for a gas station.
Yeah, that's okay. I think that's a great Jomo, just one man's opinion. You know, we've talked about this before. We even had, a spokesperson for the airport on and tried to kind of wave it away about the extra credit card fees because they don't take
it's
cash or whatever. But
it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. I mean, you drive around town. And then you go out there, and a brand that typically is a little cheaper than everybody else because they only take cash is way more expensive than even the last Chevron that you passed. And now you're thinking, well, you know, my flight's in an hour and a half, and the next station is 10 minutes away. Anyways, that's just it's a personal pet peeve.
You should write in to the travel guys and make that a travel question of the week so that we could address it on the air. Just like we're about to do right now. Mark, you indicate we get a couple of things in the mailbag. Has that kind of picked up recently?
We do. It did when people first stopped traveling, and then we didn't get anything for a while. People didn't send us any questions, and now I'm starting to get the when do you think it'll be safe or when do you think there'll be a good deal kind of questions. So I encourage you to write, and I'll try to answer as many of them individually as I can, and then we'll pick out ones that we think are general interest and answer them here.
I just happen to have in my hand a small list of some of the mini mailbag questions. Let's get to them. Okay, Michael in Rockland writes, most airlines have extended the expiration dates on credits for 2 years, but I have one issued before COVID started, expiring in January of 2021. Would the extension apply to my credit? And if not, can I ask to have it extended?
The answer, Michael, is probably yes. The airlines have been very liberal with any credit that was due to expire in 2021. Most of them have just blanketly said, if you have a credit that's expiring in 2021, we'll extend it to a comparable date in 2022. Also, if your credit is on Southwest, they have been really customer friendly. You know, haven't heard from anybody who has a Southwest credit that has had any issue at all with getting to use it over an extended period of time. Of course, because the airlines wanted to give you credits instead of cash, because cash is sort of king right now, and so they're hoarding it. So likely so. It depends on which airline. What I would do is give a call to the airline in question. Make sure that if they tell you, though, that the credit has extended, that you get something in writing that either has the name, the number of the voucher on it, or something on their website that you can reference that says that, hey, this voucher is or this credit is good till 2021. But getting it extended might take a phone call, but I don't think you're going to have any problems.
Okay, Katie in Citrus Heights writes, I have a condo in Maui for 2 weeks in late October. What are the chances we might be able to go? The property is giving us really vague answers on the phone and by email, and I'm not surprised about that.
Yeah, if you're a listener to the program, you know that the folks in Hawaii have really been struggling now for several months about how to reopen the islands to visitors. And originally they had a number of cases, probably some that were brought or were left behind by visitors. They shut the islands down. The number of cases fell off. They opened up the islands among Hawaiians for inter-island travel, and that has created somewhat of a of an outbreak of cases. Plus, they are having some people show up from the mainland, even though it's a two-week quarantine. And depending on which island you're on, the quarantine is either followed up a lot or followed up a little. So this is the this is what I would tell you is the reason that you're getting vague answers is because nobody knows the answer right now. So Hawaii is hoping to open up again September the 1st, but the problem is how do they get people tested right now? The tests here on the mainland, we're having a problem because some of the testing, the COVID testing, doesn't come back for a week or two. By that time, people have either recovered or they're dead, or they're in a hospital room, or you know they know their fate at that point. And if they had traveled somewhere on an airplane, whatever their fate was would have been everybody else's fate around them. So we're trying to get the situation where people can get tested. Ideally, Joe Brancatelli wrote, one of our buddies, guests on the program frequently, wrote last week. Joe said, look, you can do all the dancing that you want. Until they have a fairly instant test, this is going to be a problem. Travel is going to be a problem. Until people can walk up, put a stick of piece of paper in their mouth, take it out. If it turns blue, you're good to go. If it turns pink, you're not. I mean, that's literally what it's going to come down to. And he seems to think, and has some research to back it up, that we may be fairly close to that, that we may be only a matter of a couple of months away from a situation where people might be able to have instant testing. You go to the airport in the morning, and you find out whether or not you can fly with reasonable, you know, 90 to 95% certainty. So that's what the people in Hawaii are looking for, is some way to get people tested before they get there. They're doing this in Alaska. It's really not working very well. Alaska is still having further outbreaks of COVID. They're trying a system in Tahiti that we talked about a couple weeks ago where you test before you go and then test after you get there. And that's just in its infancy stages, so we don't know how that's working for them. The reason that folks in Hawaii are giving you the runaround is because nobody really knows the answer right now. So if your condo is in late October, most airlines are still allowing no change fees if you book something this month. So you could book your airline ticket, and then if you couldn't go, you could use it the following year or use it on a different trip if that's what you needed to do. So the reason that you're getting the runaround, though, is because folks in Hawaii really don't know, and until they solve that testing problem, that answer is probably not coming.
If you're just joining us, it's Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano. We are the travel and entertainment guys. We're doing the mailbag that comes to Sports Leisure on a regular basis. Let's do one more before we take a short time out. Jonah in El Dorado Hills writes, I hear you talking about being on a plane. Some of your guests talk about flying. The idea of getting on a plane scares me to death right now. And am I alone in my intense fear of flying? Jonah says, I've flown about 50 times in my life with no problems whatsoever.
So, Jonah, you're not alone. About a quarter of the population pretty consistently in surveys says they're not getting on an airplane until there's a cure for the virus. So you are definitely not alone. You are, if you go and stand in a crowd of 20 people, there are four or five others who feel just the way that you do. However, I will tell you the reason I've been okay with getting on a plane is because I'm flying on airlines that leave that middle seat open, so there's fewer people. Southwest and Delta, when they board people, it's not a herd going up to the gate. You can also manage things getting off the plane also. You don't have to stand up and be in the aisle with 50 other people when you get off. The air filtration systems on airplanes are as good as any hospital room in the country. So in terms of the air and stuff being, once you get on the plane, I'm going to suggest to you that you're in as safe as an environment as you could be in. Obviously, you have to get to the airport. You have to go through security. You have to interact with people. What I would tell you is if you write down in writing and say the idea of getting on a plane scares me to death right now, then don't fly. Because all it's going to do is you're going to be scared to death through the whole process. So just wait until you can say to yourself, you know, I think I'd be okay with this. I think I can do this now. Then when you go to the airport, you're going to find that it's not all that different. It's a little more methodical. There aren't as many people right now, so it tends to go quicker. There are no lines at ticket counters, and there are no lines at security and stuff. So social distancing and stuff is fairly easy. So I can think of when I go to the Bel Air grocery store in the afternoon and the parking lot is full, that's a lot scarier than going to the airport and getting on an airplane. To me personally, and I'm not being sarcastic, that's just my own personal thing.
All right, more questions and answers coming from the mailbag. Coming from the mailbag right after a short timeout. We are the Travel Guys. You bet. We are Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, every Sunday right here on this radio station. And if you're if you ever travel, you can follow along and take us with you on the iHeartRadio.
Yeah, please
app.
Take us with you if you're traveling to any place. I mean, even if you're going like to the service station or the grocery store or something like that, we're all desperate. All right, Thomas, we're in the mailbag here. And
rattling
off some great questions.
Thank you. Yes, back to the questions we go. Lorenzo from Rockland writes, are there any civilized ways to fly to Mexico from Sacramento? I mean, other than the two red-eye flights. I'm not going to ask why he wants to go to Mexico, but, everybody's got their reasons.
For a couple of years, that has been the case. First, we had Aeromexico, and now we have Volaris, and they both go to Guadalajara in the middle of the night, and not because there's a lot of traffic to Guadalajara, but because that's a hub for those airlines, so they get you to their hub, and then you can spread out from there. We did have a Mexico City flight in the summertime for a couple of years, so, of course, COVID has kind of knocked that out this year. Lorenzo, the other ways to get to Mexico in a more civilized fashion would be to fly to Los Angeles and then take a flight to a Mexican city from there. Also, you can get to Tucson. Unfortunately, to get to Tucson would be a two-parter on just about any airline. And Southwest doesn't interline with other carriers in Mexico. So if you go Southwest, you're going to have to claim your luggage and have another ticket and move on and stuff like that. So if you want to go during the daytime, take American or United or somebody to a Los Angeles area airport or Delta, and then take a flight into Mexico from there.
Okay. And, Mark, you indicated you've gotten more than one of these. So this is comes from a no-name person from a no-name city.
Oh, yes.
And they write, I don't understand why you think it's so effing important for people to wear masks. I'm not giving up my civil liberties. This whole COVID virus thing is a bunch of BS.
Yeah, we get one or two of those a week in the mailbag. We used to get more. Now there haven't been any for 10 days or so. All I can say to folks who take the time to send bad messages to radio hosts on weekend talk shows, at least sign your name so we can reference you when we're on the air, because this way we can't even reference you. Yes, it's important to wear masks, you COVID idiot, and you protect everybody. So if you haven't figured that out yet, I can't help you. Send me another nasty message. Which one's next, Thomas?
Okay, Kamala from Sacramento writes, are you going to get some travel deals after the virus is over? Yeah. I've been watching, but I don't see a lot of specials so far.
Well, the reason you don't see a lot of specials so far, Kamala, is because there haven't been any. Some cruise lines, I shouldn't say there haven't been any. Some cruise lines are starting to offer things like included gratuities and upgrades to their fancy dining rooms, and particularly if you will upgrade from a minimum level cabin. I've seen a couple of those floating around. So the cruise lines are starting to put their feet in the water. Here's the deal is, nobody knows when normal is going to be here. So I don't think you're going to see a lot of specials until we can see normal, at least when we look in the mirror in the rear headlights, because nobody knows when they're going to be able to open up and really be running full scale. So if you're only open halfway and you're offering half off, then you may have trouble paying your bills. So I think there will be some travel deals, but I don't think you're going to see them until the people who are going to offer them are reasonably certain that whatever they sell you, they can actually execute when you get there.
All right. Bernie and Chico, the question kind of dovetails well to this last one, and that is, when do you see airline schedules getting back to normal? Connections have become really difficult. In some cases, there's only one flight a day to get you to many cities from Sacramento.
I feel your pain, my friend. I was looking up some flights for a friend the other day on a computer and to a small town in Nebraska, and it literally required to get back to Sacramento, he had to overnight in Denver because there was no way to hit a connection in Denver or fly in on United and fly out on Southwest, which would be a little bit more creative once again. Then you got to claim your luggage and all that stuff. It's going to be a while, Bernie. We probably won't see airline schedules. Here's what happened. Only about 10, 15% of normal in March and April. Around the holiday of 4th of July, we got up to about 30% of the number of people traveling. It's backslid some now. Hotel occupancies are backsliding a little bit from a high of about 50% to closer to 40%. I think what we are at now is going to be the normal for a while. So, Bernie, I would say might be next summer you might see some normality, but it depends on how much lead time you have because people require planning. Not only the people who are traveling, but the places that you're traveling to, they have to have staff. They have to do things to ready themselves for visitors. So it's like you said, Tom, dovetailing the last question, when are the travel deals coming? When are the airline schedules getting back to normal? When people start flying on airplanes again? If Southwest leaves the middle seat open and they start filling two-thirds of the airplanes and they're adding flights, then that will be a really good indicator. I mean, that might be the best indicator of all when Southwest, with a two-thirds pole plane, has to start adding more flights.
Okay, we got time for one more before we wrap it up. From the mailbag, Anna from Citrus Heights writes, I used to get pre-check on a regular basis, but I don't anymore. She must be flying a lot. Is there a reason that I stopped getting it? I'm 78 and just can't see applying for one of the certificates that you can get.
Okay, so Anna doesn't want to go through TSA pre-check and do the interview and the application and stuff. Anna, the reason that you used to get it was because you're a senior. You're female. You're not considered a threat. They've profiled you and decided that you're not a threat. You don't get it all the time because you don't pay for it. So maybe you'll continue to get lucky and get it from time to time. But if you want to get it all the time, it's $85 for 5 years, and you're going to have to pay for it. So you've been fortunate so far. Maybe your good luck will continue.
Yeah, Anna, I've been in that same situation for quite some time where it just seems to show up and makes me a happy camper. But this might be a good time to go and get it because there'll be less crowds and less people to deal with when you go down to the airport. Okay, my friends, we'll be back next week for another Adventures of the Travel Guides. Mark, final words.
Dance like nobody's watching. We'll have our buddy Ed Perkins on with us next week to talk about post-COVID travel. Ed's been around the travel industry for a long time. I can't wait to hear what he has to say. Have a good week, and we'll see you next Sunday at 3.
Stay well, my friends. See you next time.
Never has the time to turn around.